With Paul writing this particular section, he understood something. He understood, first, that there was an enemy, and second, that Christians are almost constantly under attack by the unholy three. You've got the world, you've got your flesh, but most of all, you got Satan and his cohorts. But he also knows, Paul also knows, as he's gazing on his soldier that's guarding him, that God has given us this amazing spiritual gift, the armor of God, the full armor of God. That it's not only used to protect us, as we've talked about with the belt of truth and the breastplate of righteousness, and we're going to talk this week about the shoe, but it's also used, and we'll get to that later, it's also used so that we can obliterate the words of the enemy. Because it's important to do that. So far, like I said, we've studied the belt of truth and the breastplate of God's righteousness, and there's four more to discuss. And why are we looking at this? Because of Ephesians 6:12, reading from the New Living Translation. And we need to understand this. For we are not fighting against flesh and blood enemies. See, even the stuff that may be coming out of our government and different things, different stances like on abortion and stuff like that, it's not flesh and blood. There's evil behind it. There's evil spirits behind it. There's evil rulers and authorities of the unseen world against mighty powers in this dark world and against evil spirits in the heavenly places. Not that we should fear, because God's on our side. But he's also given us this amazing armor, you know, the belt of truth, that we can walk in the truth, that we can know the truth in the midst of lies, the breastplate of righteousness and understanding that who we are, that we are righteous before him. And now, Ephesians 6:15, reading from the ESV, and the shoes for your feet, having put on the readiness given by the gospel of peace. Or you could say it this way, and having shod your feet with readiness derived from the gospel of peace. Now, to the Roman soldiers, the shoes, if you could throw that picture up here, were very important to Roman soldiers. And they were built and designed for specific purposes. They were built for traction. They were built for protection. And they were built for mobility. They had spikes or hobnails on them. Okay, and the reason for that was so that they could walk on all kinds of ground and still have traction. They had thick soles because of the enemy would often use bungee sticks. And we saw a lot of that in Vietnam, where the VC and the Vietnam would put in bungee sticks in the ground. But by the soles being thick, the bungee sticks wouldn't penetrate through the bottom of the sandals into their feet. So it provided protection. But in spite of that, you'll notice that their sandals, they were light so that the soldier could move rapidly, either to evade attack or to move forward in attack, but to protect them from danger, and it was for mobility. We have been given spiritual shoes, and we need to put them on so that we also have mobility, so we also have protection, so that we also have traction to move as God leads us. And in those shoes are called the readiness of the gospel of peace. It is so important for us as followers of Jesus to understand the truth of the Lord Jesus Christ. Because that's where we obtain our readiness. That's where we get fed. That's where we get filled up with the truth. That's where we understand who we really are in Christ, so that we can be walk forth in the victorious way that God has called us to walk. See, the Gospels of Jesus, the Gospel of Jesus' plan for our salvation is always good. And to make sure it's good, it's centered upon the Lord Jesus Christ. It's not centered upon us, but it's centered upon Him and His atonement, upon our reconciliation with the Father through Jesus' sacrifice. And that's pretty impressive. It speaks to His love. That speaks to how much he cares for us and how much He wants to be with us. See, and as we grow in this understanding, as we grow in this knowledge of the gospel, we will also grow in our readiness and our ability to respond to any spiritual attack of the enemy. Of course, all through this, we're not talking about natural attacks. We're talking about spiritual attacks. They can be manifested in a natural way. You know, like I just really know that the enemy does not want a votive arms to go forth with what God has called them to do. And I just had that sense. It was so strong this morning, like I said, to where I couldn't even smile. But after we prayed and we released them into God's care, then the smile came. It was just fascinating. Stick around. You're going to see some strange things here. That's a good advertisement, right, isn't it, for growth? But we have to understand that because of how God has equipped us, we can fight the enemy. No matter what kind of what accusation, what kind of deception, what kind of temptation, or what kind of lie that he might throw at us. You know, Satan and his cohorts. But we can, in the middle of battle, know that we have God on our side, and because of that, we win. We've won. It's taken care of. We're with our God. We know that we can walk forth in peace rather than fear. That we can walk forth in joy rather being in, other than being in the doldrums. That no matter what is going on in our life, we can know that our God is with us and He has given us everything we need. He has equipped us to stand. But not just to stand fast. It comes back to, are we ready to stand? For the fact that the Bible, that the Word of God, that this gospel of peace is infallible, that it's true, that it's real, it's inerrant. Are we ready, willing to stand for the deity of Christ? For His virgin birth, for the miracles, for His substitution? Shoot, are we willing to stand for Genesis 1:1 to Revelation 22:21? Do we have a position in God that's defensible by the Scriptures? And I'm not talking about where different doctrines or whatever, where people have disagreements because it's just, let's just be honest, it's not totally clear. But I'm talking about your relationship with Jesus. I'm talking about, can you defend that? Do you believe it? You know, I think about when the Mormons came in. 4 we have the Holy Spirit, and we can say yes, because I didn't know the Bible, and yet I was turning, oh, it says over here in Ephesians. Oh, is there a book called Ephesians? You know, because the Holy Spirit will help. But it helps that we get in, and we find out, and we develop a definite position in God that's scriptural. See, we have to be solid. We have to be people that are ready in truth, so we can have the readiness to go forth. Our stance in Jesus should always be yes. never compromising. Like it says in 2 Corinthians 1:19, reading from the ESV, "For the Son of God, Jesus Christ, whom we proclaimed among you, Silvanus and Timothy and I, was not yes and no, but in him it was always yes." The Roman soldiers understood that because of these sandals, they could say yes and they could stand on any terrain and fight. And as we learn about the spiritual shoes that God has given us, and we put them on, as we dig into the gospel, as we understand it, we will be ready to fight any spiritual battle or anything that comes our way, and that we will stand triumphantly. God wants us to put on new shoes so we're ready whenever or wherever anything comes. I mean, think about Gideon, okay? He had 32,000 people, and God said, nah. And he reduced them down to 300. And he gave them some really horrific weapons, lanterns, trumpets, and jars. And he told them to go and surround. And what happened? God confused them and soundly defeated the Midianites. As we put on the spiritual armor, that's what we're doing. We're inviting God to go before us to fight our battles. Let's pursue the gospel so that it permeates us and so we can always stand, like it says in 1 Corinthians 16:13, reading from the New Living Translation. Be on guard, stand firm in the faith, be courageous, and be strong. We should always walk our walk expecting an unexpected attack. Not walking in fear, but not being surprised if it happens. You see the difference? Because one way but the other one, you're just going through life following the Holy Spirit, and it happens, and you go, huh, it's just you. You know? Or, you know, you've heard the stories, you know, people wake up in the middle of the night, and there's a demon standing over in the corner, and they go, oh, it's just you, I'm going back to sleep. You know? Those things shouldn't surprise us. Always remember, though, Satan is not subtle. Or Satan is subtle, excuse me. He likes to attack when you least expect it. But again, we don't have to fear. We've got the breastplate. We've got the belt. We've got the shoes. We've got the other things we're going to be looking at later. And as we put those on, as we submerge ourselves in the Word of God, as we just do all the things that cause us to grow, we'll be fine. We'll be fine. We'll be protected. We'll be mobile. We'll have the traction necessary to fight the good fight at any moment that we're called to fight. You know? But not only fight, but to defeat our enemy, because he's already defeated. He knows his days are limited. He's just trying to get as many people to go to hell with him as he can. And we just want to kind of help him to get there with nobody. Now remember something about Satan and his deception. He'll appear to us in a couple different ways. 1 Peter 5:8 says he prowls around like a roaring lion. Where 2 Corinthians 11:14 says Satan disguises himself as an angel of light. So he might come roaring at you, or he might come in just as a good guy putting his arms around your shoulder. The devil doesn't always come as ugly and foul, even though he is ugly and foul. And there's some people who told me that they can smell him when he's in the area. I've never had that. I'm not saying that's not true. But sometimes he can also come where he just seems real pleasant, kind of full of love and just kind of right. But both of them are attacks. See, one moment he'll oppose you, the next moment he will flatter you. Let me read this. It's a little lengthy, but it gets the point across really well. And it's from Martin Lloyd-Jones' book, The Christian Soldier. The devil contradicts himself. He doesn't mind doing so. His one object is to get us down. He will contradict himself utterly and shamelessly. What does it matter? As long as we believe him on both occasions, he is perfectly content. Sometime he attacks the scripture. The next moment he'll quote it, as he quoted it to our Lord, you know, when he is in the wilderness for 40 days. One moment he comes to us and tells us that we are not good enough to be Christians. Another time he tells us we are so good that we do not need the death of Christ in order to save us. Our lives are so good that God will accept us on our merits. One moment he comes to us and tells us that we have to justify ourselves by our good works, that nothing counts with God but good works. And that if we do not live this good life and do good works, we are not justified. The next moment, he will come and tell us that works do not matter at all. And as long as we say that we believe in Christ and his blood, we can go where and do what we like. One moment, he comes to the Christian and says, do not overdo yourself. Look after your health. Look after your interests. Look after your investments. Read more. Do nothing. The next moment, he comes and fills us with carnal zeal and makes us as busy, so busy that we lose our grip of truth and do not know where we are. One moment, the break is on. The next moment, it is wild fanaticism. The same devil tempts to both extremes. You can take this to the bank. Demons don't play fair. You can put all the rules out there you want, and they'll just laugh. They're always, always, always looking for our weakness. They'll prod here, they'll prod there, they'll prod here, and then they'll find this little soft spot, and they'll go, ah. But it's always with the goal of destroying your relationship with God and with each other. He'll come, and he'll point out weaknesses in other people's lives just so he can break relationship. They're evil. They are evil personified. Going back to Ephesians 6:12, which I read earlier, but I'm going to read it again. For we are not fighting against flesh and blood enemies, but against evil rulers and authorities of the unseen world, against mighty powers in this dark world, and against evil spirits in the heavenly places. Evil, evil, evil. That's why our best defense is to put on the whole armor of God, to go forth in God and just be ready. And we do that by studying. We do that by meditating on the scriptures. You know, when you read a scripture and then you come across it after reading it the sixth or seventh time and it just jumps out at you and you go, okay, Lord, what are you trying to show me? And you just meditate upon it. By praying, by fasting, by standing together and listening to the Holy Spirit, immersing ourselves in the Lord, as we talked about last week, like a scuba diver underwater. So that we can be mobile. I mean, there's great warriors of the past that have shown us that in battle, it's good to be mobile. Alexander the Great was the first one to have an army that was mobile, that he would just move it rapidly and just caught the enemy off guard. The Romans practiced the same principles. Oliver Cromwell, a great English general, also used mobility, suddenly moving troops, using mobility to his advantage as he was at battle with the Germans. Likewise, it is very important for the church, individually and collectively, to be mobile, to understand how to move here or there as our commander-in-chief, as the Father directs us, as the Holy Spirit speaks to us and leads us in this direction or that direction. Sometimes he'll lead us in this direction or that direction because he knows there's a trap laid. And he'll say, let's go this way. Let's think about this. Let's talk about this. Christians must be ready to follow our commander-in-chief voice and directions at a moment's notice. As we do, like I said, we won't know what we were spared. But I guarantee you we'll spare something. See, we need to understand that we are saved, that we are children of God, that we have so much to be thankful for, and that we're not citizens of this messed up world. Anybody here think that this world's a little on the messed up side? And putting on the armor. Focusing on the truth, focusing on the righteousness that we are, focusing on that we are ready, focusing on the things that we'll be talking about over the next 3 weeks. As we do those things, we'll be walking forward in this messed up world in great joy. Because we know the truth. And the truth will set us free. And the truth will bring us great joy. I want you to think for a second, put yourself in a football stadium. And your team is winning. So it's the Chiefs because they win. What's going on in that stadium? There's life. There's energy. There's excitement. There's enthusiasm. And there's noise, right? In the church, we've already won. You getting my point? I was once in an MUKU basketball game, and if you've never been to an MUKU basketball game, you're missing something. Because it is deafening. I take earplugs. And I was once in a game, and MU was winning, and above the scoreboard there was these fireworks going off, and it was loud. The meter said it was about 109, 110 dB, okay, which is really loud. And I looked at this guy beside me, and I asked him, wouldn't it be really cool if there was this much enthusiasm in the Church Universal? Okay, am I bordering on legalism or am I bordering on we're responding to God's grace and who He really is? You know, God is taking us, is taking us into newness, into not only newness of what He's doing, but He's really shared with me, He's taking us in each one of us into newness of understanding of who we are and what God has done for us. And it's going to change us. It's going to change us because He's done so much for us. You know? I was at, there used to be a bunch of people, that went to church here named the Nelsons. Rich and Janet was kind of the kingpin of the group. And they had four little children, right, Chris? Four. And a bunch of their relatives were in and out of here. Well, they felt the Lord leading them to go to a church in Fulton and be part of the community they grew up in. I'm like, yeah, cool, let's do it. So our paths started crossing a couple months ago. And last night we went to this graduation celebration for Andy. And the whole, or just about the whole Nelson clan was there. I'm trying to decide why I started going down this road. But you can be sure, and it was just interesting because it was like we hadn't seen each other for a while, but it was like we had not seen each other for 5 or 10 seconds. Does that make sense to you? Because we just picked up and started talking about like we hadn't seen each other since yesterday. But see, that's what it's like, I believe, And as we go forth, as we put on the armor of God, as we walk together and protect each other, that it's going to be like as we go forward. That our relationships are not just in this building. Our relationships are far beyond. And by the way, I saw Lowell Perkins there last night, pastor of First Assembly. I renewed my offer of $250,000 for the building, and he's still not interested. But it's on the market for about $3 million. But we need to understand that we're all in this together. That's why it was so important for us to interrupt worship this morning, to call up Ross and Taylor, and for us to minister love to them. That they're not alone in this. That we care. And that we're going to continue to pray. I encourage us, don't stop praying now, but continue to pray. Because what God has said to us, as they hurt, you're hurting. And I experienced that this morning, as I said earlier. I've never experienced it like that before. But I'm glad I did. And I want all of us to understand that we're all in the battle together. And somehow or another, I think that as we each have our individual pieces, we also have the piece that covers the whole church, since we're one body. I'm going to have to explore that a little more, but we need to understand that we're together and that we all need to move together as the commander-in-chief leads us, so that we can worship and we can praise and we can walk in unity. See, our feet have to be shod with the readiness provided by the gospel of peace, so that we can walk forth in the righteousness that God has given us, so we can walk forth in the truth that God has revealed to us. As we grow in our understanding of the gospel of God and His grace and His mercy and what He has done in providing us this readiness that He has put within us, then we can move forward from the gospel of peace, or in the gospel of peace. One of the great things I love about the triune God is I know He always has my six. He's always got my back. He'll never leave me. He'll never forsake me. He's always there. He's always providing everything that I need to do what it is that He has called me to do. But I suppose that we always have a choice. I mean, we can live our own life. We can go to a church for social reasons or professional reasons or many other reasons, not really choosing to pursue an intimate relationship with the Lord Jesus Christ, with the Father and with the Holy Spirit. But it just doesn't cut it, does it? It just doesn't cut it. Or we can go to church to pursue and grow in Jesus and all He has for us, all the while growing in His readiness, all the while growing in His truth, all the while growing in His righteousness. Becoming more and more prepared to fight against the things that Satan might throw at us. I mean, remember David and Goliath? You know, David showed up and they put this armor on, Saul's armor on him. But it was too heavy. Just like the armor of, can you put that picture up there of Saul and of David in the armor? In the, there you go, that's what it looked like. But, thank you. But it's just like trying to fight a spiritual battle with stuff from the world, by putting on the world stuff. And it'll be hard, it'll be heavy. But Jesus is not, God's not. Like what's it say in Matthew 11:30? For my yoke is easy, and my burden is light. You know, for David, it was a slingshot. It wasn't all that armor that Saul wanted to put on him. It's just a simple little slingshot. For us, it's the belt of truth. The breastplate of righteousness, the shoes of the readiness of the gospel of peace, and the other armor that we'll talk about in the days ahead. Spiritual things. No weight. So we can be mobile. So we can be ready. So we can move as God calls us to go this way. You know, one day you may wake up and God says, I want you to go to Uganda. But if you got a bunch of things from the world, heavy things holding you down, you may not be able to do that. So we need to be people that are ready to move, to do whatever. Always walking in the truth, always being righteous, always doing the things that God wants us to do. And then there's more, much more that we can learn, that we'll be nimble and dodge the enemy and approach it just like David did. See, David had what God wanted him to have. And because of that, he defeated the enemy. Just like we can choose what God wants us to have, and we will defeat our enemies. Which we can do with the armor that he's given as the enemy deceives, accuses, lies to us, tempts us. You know, we have been given so much, and one of the beauties of the church today, and this is just a little sidebar, but I think it fits in, that God has just been, over the years, has been giving us more and more, because the church went through some really dark days, and there were some things that were lost, and God has been bringing them back, restoring those truths, and some of them are like the justification by faith, which God used Luther back in 1517. The baptism by immersion that came from the Anabaptists. Holiness, which came from the Wesleys. The fourfold gospel, Savior, Sanctifier, Healer, and Coming King, came from Albert Simpson. These are truths that we can use to speak to the enemy. Pentecostal movement, which occurred in the early 1900s. It occurred almost simultaneously in North Carolina, in Topeka, in Welsh Revival, and Azusa Street, using a guy named Seymour. And then came the charismatic movement, affecting non-denominational churches almost in the beginning of it. But then the Anglicans kind of had a move in 1958, and the Lutherans and Presbyterians in 1962, the Catholics in 67, and the Methodists in 70s. You know, I don't know who here remembers a Father McNutt from the Catholic Church that was touched, and he ended up leaving the Catholic Church, marrying, I think it was a nun, but I'm not sure. But a couple of years ago, when Chris and I were at Hilton Head, we ran into a couple that had gone to Father McNutt's healing school down in Tallahassee, Florida. Or was it Jacksonville? It doesn't matter, but I think it was Jacksonville, Florida. And it was telling us all about the move of God and the things that were going on in Catholic prayer meetings up in the Northeast because of this, of people were being prayed for and getting healed. God has brought back a lot of things, and he's still bringing back things, bringing back truth that he's giving to us so we can go forward to build the church that he has built. Now, as we do that, the enemy is not going to be happy. But we don't have to worry about him. We've got the armor of God. And the one we'll talk about, the sword of the Spirit, which we can obliterate that little sucker. And he is little. It's not often that people have a vision of a demon that is big. But even worship has changed over time, from my perspective anyway, to help us to do spiritual warfare. I mean, look at these new contemporary songs. A lot of them are songs of war. But they're built upon old hymns. And they're built upon Scripture. They're built upon the gospel of peace. If the worship team wants to come back up, speaking of worship. We just need the gospel so that we're ready to move forward in all God wants us to do. And that includes the spiritual warfare. Church must be a people that pursues the gospel of peace. So we're ready in God. So that we're open to the new revelation based upon the word of God. So the things of God that the church lost are restored, which will all lead to the defeat of our enemy. Now, he's already defeated. I think he knows that. If he can read Revelation, he understands his future home. Lake of fire. But it's all that he's doing is going to be the victory of Christ, our victory, and the defeat of the enemy. And that's how we need to walk through all of this, with that understanding, as we put on the full armor of God. The things we've talked about and the things we haven't. And as we do, we will be walking forth as a winning people, as a winning church. And I think that we'll see miracles. I think we'll see healings, deliverances, and things like that as we focus more and more upon the Lord. God's preparing us. God's getting us ready. God has placed a call on his church, this local congregation, but his church universal. And it's all in various stages of manifestation. In some places there's more manifestations, in some places there's less. But he's doing it all according to his plan. But we're going to be faithful, and we're going to pursue him. And we're going to pray for the sick. We're going to pray, we'll stop worship like we did this morning to pray. When God tells us to do that. Because we need to, so that we can pray, but also so that the prophetic word can the prophetic voice can come forward. This is a good day. This is an excellent day. This is an amazing day. It's an amazing day because we're going to celebrate Hunter, but it's an amazing day because of what God's doing and preparing to do in greater ways. Amen? So, I'm going to finish with the song. If there's anybody that needs prayer, it's open. And I just want to remind you about the 5th for this. I just think this is really powerful that everybody, that it's a church-wide celebration of Pentecost Sunday. And it's the church, universal church, coming together. So I encourage you to come. It's only going to be for an hour or so, but I also encourage you to invite people because they'll see a Baptist, a Catholic priest, and whatever I am, sharing the same stage talking about the Lord. So, come. And come now if you need any prayer. We are blessed. We are blessed. We are blessed. Can you just say that? I am blessed. I am blessed. We are. Amen. So.